worship Him for a couple seconds. Thank you, Jesus. God, we put our trust in You tonight. Through whatever we're going through, God, we put our trust in You. Hallelujah. God, You are worthy. Praise God. If you could open your Bibles to Proverbs 12, I just want to read a quick verse in Proverbs 12, verse 11. Proverbs 12, verse 11, your app or your iPad or your phone, wherever you're reading the screen behind me, it says, "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding. He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread, but he who follows frivolity is devoid of understanding." You can be seated. Before I get into the message, I wanted to take 3 or 4 minutes and just talk to the church family just for a minute or two here quick. So Summer Fun Fest is coming up on August 3rd. We are super excited about this. Our goal this year is to reintroduce this church to this community. I say reintroduce. We've been here a long time. But, you know, COVID and things, you know, we get separated sometimes. And so the goal is to reintroduce this church to this community, to let them know that there's a place that God is, and that God is changing lives, that God is making a difference. And so part of that is we usually throw a big party, but this year we want to invite all of our friends and maybe some people we haven't met yet, right? And so that's what this is. It's coming up on August 3rd. There is going to be music, free food, refreshments, games, bounce houses for the kids. There's going to be a pickleball and spike ball and volleyball and football and all this stuff. It's going to be a great time. We're going to have a little service that starts at 10:30. About 11:30, we'll get out. We're going to go enjoy the day and just hang out together and have a good time. Hopefully it's not a heat advisory like it's been the last couple of days, right? But I also wanted to share with the church family. If you're in Calvary Gospel Church, you've been coming here and you feel like this is a part of my family, and you see the vision here and you're saying, hey, yes, this is something I want to take part in. We put this on. It does cost a bunch of money. Right now, we're taking care of it. But if you feel like you want to be a part of this and you want to say, hey, my family, we'd like to help, we'd like to donate, you can donate to this, to Summer Fun Fest. You can go on the app, you can put something in an envelope, just put SFF on it, Summer Fun Fest, right? And it'll make sure it gets to the right place. The flyers we send out, the blankets, we got some really cool stuff we're doing. We're gonna give away some gifts. If you want to donate towards that, if you want to donate towards the food, this is pretty cool. We try to be really cost effective, but just to get the like meat and the buns to feed all the people we're feeding is going to be about $1,200. That's something, right? And so if you were like, hey, I can give $200, you're going to feed about 100 people. We can get about $2 a person roughly is what we're doing. It's really awesome what we're doing. And there's all kinds of stuff. But if you want to donate, if you want to be a part of what we're trying to do here, and God has blessed you and you feel like I want to give back or I want to be a part of something, you could donate to what we're trying to do and you just go on the app and SFF. And if you can't or you don't feel to, that's okay too. Come and have fun and be a good host. Also, I don't have my phone, thank goodness, because I'm preaching. Also, if you're like, hey, I might not have an opportunity to give financially, but I'd like to donate some of my time because I know they're looking for volunteers. You can go right into the Church Center app, go into the volunteer group, and then there'll be some opportunities there. You can sign up and say, yeah, I'll stick around and clean up for a little bit, or maybe I'll show up earlier. Maybe I'll help take out the trash. Whatever it is to make sure that this is a welcoming place for all the people that we have coming in, our family, our friends, this community. So if you'd like to do that, you can as well. And I'd ask everybody, even if you say, hey, well, I can't physically, I can't financially, would you pray with us? You know, we are so in love with God, and we know that God is in love with the people in this community, and He wants to know them more. So let's just pray that God is touching people's hearts and minds. Can we do that? Okay. This year, our theme for 2025 has been a good work. We've used the verse Philippians 1:6 that it says, being confident in this very thing, that He who has begun a good work in you will complete it until the day of Jesus Christ. So the short 30-second version of this is that God has already started a good work in you. Wow, but you don't know my past. You don't know where I've gone. It doesn't matter. He hasn't waited for you to get good. He's starting a good work in you. It's already started, but it's a good work. It's not just he's working on you and it's going to suck. It's like this is a good work he's doing. And there will be painful moments, but God is doing a work that's going to produce something good. And it says, and he will complete it. So something good is being done and God will complete it. But we have to submit to him working. There's something about that, right? 2 weeks ago, I spoke on a Wednesday night about hearing God. And this is part of this idea of, okay, if God's going to do a work, I should probably be listening to see. And if you weren't here for that, I recommend you go listen to it because we talked about hearing God and what God's trying to speak into my life, okay? And spoiler alert, I did not talk about how to find a burning bush, okay? I talked about a still small voice. But tonight I want to talk a little bit about the idea that God wants to do a good work in you through his word. Through his word. So let me set the stage here because I'm a little confused sometimes when I read the Bible because I start out with something like Matthew 4, 1 through 4. And it says, Jesus was led up by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. And when he had fasted 40 days and 40 nights, afterward, he was hungry. Now, when the tempter came, he said, if you are the Son of God, command that these stones become bread. But he answered and said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Later on, Jesus said, I am the bread of life. So we're seeing this idea that God's word feeds us. We're supposed to take it in and be nourished, right? We read in Hebrews 4:12, it says, for the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit, and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. So, yes, God's word is something we should be absorbing, something we should be taking in, but now it's saying that God's word is alive and active, and it pierces deep into our hearts, and it kind of exposes our thoughts and our motives and our intents. We read in Isaiah 55:10, and it says this about God's word. It says, for as the rain comes down, and the snow from heaven comes down, and it does not return there, so it doesn't return back to heaven, but the water, the earth, and make it bring forth bud, that it may give seed to the sower and bread to the eater. So shall my word be that goes forth out of my mouth. It shall not return to me void, but it shall accomplish what I please, and it shall prosper in the thing for which I sent it. He's using this analogy that you see the rain and the snow come down, and yes, we know it evaporates and goes into the clouds. But he's saying you see it come down, and it's there to do something. It's there to grow. He's like, and that's what it does. It doesn't come down and then just go right back up. It comes down, and it accomplishes something. Okay? That's what he's talking about. And he said, that's what my word is like. My word is God's word. Has a purpose, and it's going to accomplish that purpose. It'll do what it's supposed to do. In fact, did you know Scott's Turf Builder? You can buy those bags that they have a winter blend. Did you know that? You know what you do with the winter blend? You spread your seed before winter, and when the snow comes, the heavy snow in Wisconsin packs the seed into the soil. And over time, and when spring comes, the snow all melts and it soaks into the ground and all that moisture helps that seed grow. It provides the plant and the grass the moisture it needs. There's a whole other sermon there that I found online that I really like that I've been sharing it with some of you guys about how just keep praying because God's word's going to have an effect, even if it's winter, because spring's coming, right? That's not mine. That's somebody else's. But this idea that God's word will do what it's supposed to do. So we're supposed to take it in. It's quick and powerful. It penetrates in our hearts. It's going to do what it's intended to do. But that doesn't align with what Jesus said. Stay with me. Matthew 13:3. Then he spoke many things to them in parables, saying, behold, a sower went out to sow. And as he sowed, some seed fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. Some fell on stony places. Imagine a person out there casting seed. This is how they would do it. They'd cast seed, right? And some fell by the wayside, and the birds came and devoured them. And some fell on stony places where they did not have much earth, and they immediately sprang up because they had no depth of earth. But when the sun was up, they were scorched, and because they had no root, they withered away. And some fell upon the thorns, and the thorns sprang up and choked them. But others fell on good ground and yielded a crop, some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. He who has ears to hear, let him hear. So Jesus is saying this, and then they say to him in verse 10, why are you speaking to them in parables? What is this? You're talking about some guy casting seed. This doesn't make sense. And he goes on to explain it to them in verse 13. He says, I speak to them in parables because seeing, they're not really seeing, and hearing, they're not really hearing, nor do they understand. And in them, the prophecy of Isaiah is fulfilled. And this is Jesus quoting back to Isaiah. He said, hearing you will hear and shall not understand. And seeing you will see and not perceive. Saying, you can hear things, but you're not perceiving, you're not understanding that it's God. He's saying, so they're hearing things, but they're not understanding it. For the hearts of this people, this is verse 15, he's explaining what Isaiah was talking about, Jesus is. For the hearts of this people have grown dull, their ears are hard of hearing, and their eyes have closed, lest they should see with their eyes and hear with their ears, lest they should understand with their hearts and turn, so that I should heal them. He said, they've grown cold. They can't understand what I'm saying. And so essentially they're like, well, what does this parable mean? And so he states it again, and he starts over in verse 18. Therefore, hear the parable of the sower. 19. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom, now he's explaining, the seed is the word. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and doesn't understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who receives seed by the wayside. But he who received the seed on the stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy. Yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word and cares, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. But he who receives seed on the good ground is the one who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some 100-fold, some 60, some 30. So Jesus tells them a story about a sower sowing seed, saying some's going to land on the wayside or the path, some of it's going to land on stony ground, some of it's going to land on thorny ground, and some of it's going to land on good ground. And they're like, why are you speaking in parables? Nobody gets what you're talking about. And he's like, well, that's because they're not listening and their hearts are hardened. I'll explain it to you guys. And then he explains what each one is. He says the sower is Jesus or God. The seed is the word of God. And he talks about, and this is in, I believe this is in each one of the Matthew, Mark, and Luke, right? He talks about how the soil is our hearts. And he said, when the seed, the word of God, falls on the hardened soil or the path, the seed just sits on top and doesn't penetrate and gets stolen by the enemy. When our hearts are rocky, there's too many rocks, then the plants grow, but they die away quickly. So there's a plant that springs up, but it doesn't really have any roots. The sun happens, it's like, it just dies. The weedy ground, you probably get some good plants, but it chokes out the plant, and the good soil grows and produces fruit. I've heard this preached so many times, and when I've heard it, I've heard people talk about it from a church's perspective. Like if you're out there sowing God's word and you just walk through a neighborhood of 100 people and you just throw, you know, whatever, and they're preaching this and they say, and you do this, that 25% of the people might come for a little bit and then they're going to leave. 25% of the people will never even hear God's word. 25%, and you see these percentages, and 25% of the people will bear fruit. I've also heard it from a heart perspective, where somebody's like, what's the condition of your heart? Is it hardened? Is it rocky? Is it weedy? Is it good soil? But the problem I have is that if God's word says that we're supposed to absorb it, and it's quick and powerful and penetrates the heart, and it never comes back void, and it always does what it's designed to do, why does it only work 25% of the time? Which one of the verses is wrong? This is the stuff I think about when I'm reading God's word. So God, he's very patient with me. Neither one of them's wrong, for the record, Brother Caskey. I know you were wondering there. Neither one of them's wrong. But can you see how my brain got there? Like, it's always going to work. It's going to do what I intended it to do. You're supposed to absorb it. It's quick and powerful to the penetrating of the heart. and it's going to work 25% of the time. I'll tell you, if this was a business, if you told me, let's actually use a crazy analogy. If I told you that I was going to put four $20 bills and they're going to go into your house, right? And one of them got in the door, Josh, but one of them got stuck at a window and one got stuck at a vent and one got stuck on the roof. And I was just like, that's how it is. What would you do? Probably open the door, open the window, find a way to get at the roof, right? It's like, there's a way around this. Clearly, it's not the money's problem. But I think too often, we think the problem is with the word. We think the problem is, well, you know, that's just the way it is. It's just my heart. This is my personality. This is just who I am. This is just, the math is there. God said it's only going to work 25% of the time. I'm probably one of the 75%ers. I can't believe, though, that it's a problem of God's word. I can't believe that 75% of the people or the things that God's word impacts have no chance. I can't believe that 75% of the time someone's heart is not going to accept it. I can't believe that my personality is one with stones or weeds or pathways, and that's just the way I was made. And that's when I came across Proverbs 12. Proverbs 12:1 says, "He who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. But he who follows frivolity is void of understanding." And this is where I believe God is showing us we can change the condition of our soil. And that's why tonight I want to talk about soil solutions. Really, this verse starts out by talking about if we want to eat, we have to work the ground, right? It's kind of a basic, like, hey, Dave Ramsey, money comes from work, right? We're trying to teach our kids this. Money doesn't come from mom and dad. It comes from work. So the verse is saying that. But also, I'm seeing something more here in the spiritual way of looking at this. If we want to see fruit in that soil, we have to work that soil. If we want that soil to bring forth fruit, we have to work that soil. We have to weed. We have to remove rocks. We have to break up the ground. This is how hearing and understanding God's word, this is how we hear and understand God's word in our heart. See, we can't anymore stand back and say, well, that's just the soil. That's just the statistics. That's just the way it is. Because Proverbs 12:11 says, he who tills his land will be satisfied with bread. The excuses are gone. But also, that means I can do something about this. That means I can do something about this. And so what we see here is that reading and understanding God's word takes time and work. And then the second part of the verse, it's essentially saying being lazy makes us unable to understand. It's reinforcing that if we will work the ground, we will produce a soil that God can work in, and it will produce fruit. And if we are lazy and we follow frivolity, we won't understand. Soil Solutions, that's the title for tonight. So let's go back through the story. Let's go back through the story and see if there's anything we can do about the condition of the soil or whether we're just supposed to accept the math. Let's see if there's anything we can do about the condition of each one of these soils. I'm going to explain them all here and we'll run through them. So Matthew 13:18, therefore hear the parable of the sower. Verse 19, we're going to start talking about the path. When anyone hears the word of the kingdom and does not understand it, then the wicked one comes and snatches away what was sown in his heart. This is he who received the seed by the wayside. In Luke 8:12, it uses the phrase, those by the wayside are the ones who hear. So what's interesting is all of these groups hear. Okay? In Jesus' day, the wayside was this hard-packed path that ran along where you would sow seed. So where your field was, there was this hard-packed path. And do you know why the path was hard-packed? Sometimes it ran through the field too, if that's where you needed, because you needed to reach certain parts of the field. Do you know why it was hard-packed? Because people and animals constantly walked on the path, pressing the soil down until it became like concrete. You take certain kinds of soil, you mix in a little bit of water, you take the sand from somebody's feet, they're walking along, it gets the water, it gets firm, the sun bakes it. Kind of like concrete. It gets really hard, makes for a great path, makes for a bad place to grow seeds. And what Jesus is saying is this area where the seeds fall, this type of soil represents a hardened heart. And can I offer to you that maybe it's a heart that's been trampled on by people and animals? Maybe it's a heart that's resistant to God's word. Maybe it's a heart that's hardened and resistant because, you know, this hasn't worked in the past. Maybe it's a heart that's hardened because, you know, there was a Christian one time that really hurt me. Or a leader that one time that really hurt me, that trampled on me in some way. Maybe there's this path that's hardened because you've let others walk through your relationship with God. And it's their path walking around, and it's not your soil anymore. And so because the path becomes hardened, because our hearts become hardened, the devil comes and takes away so they don't understand. Because it says in Luke 8:12, they hear it, but because their heart is hardened, they can't understand it. Because they've already kind of shut themselves off to God's word even working in their life. Does that make sense? This hardened idea of a heart? And so because the devil comes and takes the seed, they can't understand the word. And so hardening your heart allows the enemy to come and take the word from you. You hear it, but it has zero impact because you're already locked in. Nothing's penetrating this. Hebrews 3, 7 through 8 says this, therefore, as the Holy Spirit says, today, if you will hear his voice, do not harden your hearts in rebellion in the day of trial in the wilderness. He's saying, don't be rebellious. He's saying, there's this idea of rebellion or a lack of repentance is what hardens our heart. That's one thing. 2 Corinthians 2, 10 through 11 says, now whom you forgive anything, I forgive also, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his devices. This verse is interesting to me because it says when we don't forgive other people, Satan takes advantage of us. Boy, this is sounding familiar, isn't it? When we harden our hearts, when we, one, for ourselves don't repent, and two, don't forgive other people, our hearts become hardened, and Satan can take advantage of us. And we think that by not forgiving, I'm hurting everybody else, but by not forgiving, I'm keeping God's word from impacting into that soil. And so too often we like to look at this soil and say, well, that's a hard-packed ground. I can't help that. But he who tills will have food. Ephesians 4, 26 says, be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. When we go down, when we let the sun go down on our wrath, when we're unwilling to forgive other people, the devil has a chance, and we're giving him place in our soil. And the last verse on this idea of path is Jeremiah 4, 1 and 34. It says, number one, if you will turn to me, he's talking about repentance. If you will repent, for thus says the Lord, the men of Israel, says the Lord to the men of Judah and Israel in Jerusalem, break up your fallow ground and do not sow among thorns. Circumcise yourselves to the Lord. This is God speaking through Jeremiah saying, if you turn to me and repent, you're going to break up that ground. If you turn to me, you can break up that hardened heart. And so the first solution to the soil, well, the solution to the path, wayside, thank you. I couldn't find it here. The solution to the wayside path is not to accept that paths just exist and that's my life. To accept that 25% of the word isn't going to impact me. No, the solution to the hard-packed, hardened heart soil is because, church, we have to forgive and we have to repent. And if we don't, remember the Lord's Prayer, if we will not forgive others of their things that they've done to us, our Heavenly Father will not forgive us. And so the solution to a wayside or to a hardened path is to forgive God, to forgive ourselves, and to forgive others of any offense, and to repent to God for everything we have done. And in doing that, we will start to break up that tallow ground. We'll start to break up that hardened ground, and it will be ground that can be used for seed. But I'm telling you, tilling, have you ever tilled soil before? You ever used one of those? Like, like that, and it's like jumping all over. How many people have done it by hand with a hoe? Tilling is hard work. Whether it's by hand or a machine, tilling is difficult, but it's needed to make hard ground soft again. And so hopefully we see in this first story that we can do something about hardened ground. And when we do, God's word will make an impact. The rocky soil, verse 20, but he who received the seed on stony places, this is he who hears the word and immediately receives it with joy, yet he has no root in himself, but endures only for a while. For when tribulation or persecution arises because of the word, immediately he stumbles. We hear about this rocky soil that it has no foundation, that the roots can't grow. Yes, the plant grows quickly, but without the roots, it doesn't have the ability to stand up when the sun comes or the wind comes, right? And you might think, well, this soil was tilled a little bit. They clearly thought there was some tilling maybe because they're putting seed on it. But you know what they didn't do? They didn't go deep enough because there's still rocks there. Imagine sending your child out to go clean out the garden and say, get the rocks out. What are they going to do? They're going to come and there's a rock. They're going to pick up the rocks. But those aren't the rocks I'm worried about. It's the ones that are like 2 inches under the dirt that are keeping the roots from growing. So maybe this was tilled. Maybe there was something that happened to it, but the big rocks were not removed. And because of that, the word doesn't stick very long because the field is full of rocks. They're enthusiastic at first. We're enthusiastic at first, but we give up when times get hard. I like to hear a good message, but I don't want to do anything about it after I leave. And so what we're talking about here is this depth, this idea that says, I'm not going to spend time in prayer or in scripture reading or Bible reading. I'm not going to spend time with people of God that have like minds, and not that we should hang out with everybody. I'm just saying, like, people that are going to encourage me. I haven't taken the time to really digest God's word. I haven't taken the time to dig deeper in prayer or in Bible reading. And because of that, there's still rocks down there. And because of that, nothing really grows. And in a time of temptation, the plants fall away. And so the solution to rocky soil is we have to remove the rocks. And we have to let the soil have a deep foundation so roots can grow. It's not about the rocks. It's about the soil being deeper. Because removing the rocks creates a deeper soil. In fact, have you ever done this in a garden? Like maybe you just plant one. I'm not a gardener, okay? I've seen this, okay? And you're like, oh, I'm going to get out. And you do a phenomenal job. You have this, maybe this is the grade of your garden, and you take out all the rocks, and now it's like this. You've probably done it, right, Josh? You guys are like doing a backyard for a pool, and you're like, here it is, and you start digging. You get all the rocks out. It's like, we need to bring in dirt to fill in where all the rocks were. So we have to remove the rocks, but to remove the rocks, we have to dig deep. Jeremiah 23:29 said, is not my word like a fire, says the Lord, and like a hammer that breaks the rock in pieces? What we're finding is when we dig in to God's word, when we leave this building without the attitude of, well, that was a great message, I heard it, praise God. That's a good thing. We should preach. You should be a preacher. But when we instead say, I'm going to go home and dig into God's word for myself. That's how we remove rocks and we start creating a deeper soil. Ezekiel 36:26, we talked about this on Sunday. It says, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you. I will take the heart of stone out of your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will keep my judgments and do them. Getting deeper in God is about taking rocks out and letting God's spirit to do a deep work in us. It's like, God, I got a rocky heart sometimes. But I need to remove the rocks out of my heart and let your spirit go in there. And that happens by spending time in prayer. It's spending time meditating on God's word. Spending time letting God's spirit make a difference in you. That's how the soil gets deeper. But church, we have to dig deep. And just like the tilling that has to happen with the path soil. It's not even with the path, we'll say. This is painful at times. And you get dirty You get more dirty than you do when you're tilling, I think. Maybe tilling, you get more blisters, but you get more dirty when you're taking rocks out. But having deep soil in your heart for God to work in is amazing, and it produces fruit. And so while you might say, this is causing me to have dirty hands, and I don't necessarily like bending over all the time and getting down on my knees to take rocks out, I don't like the extra time that, you know, I'd really like to be doing something else, but I know I have to dig deeper into God's word because I know it will produce fruit in my life. And so the solution for the rocky soil is to spend time reading and studying God's word, to spend time in deeper and longer prayers. That's how we get deeper. That's how the roots grow deeper. And that's how, when you start doing that, you start to see some of those rocks and start having to take some of them out. To remove the rocky soil, we have to get deeper in our walk with God. Verse 22, the thorny soil. Now he who receives seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. You know, I like this verse because it's talking about thorny soil, but clearly clearly the soil is good soil. It's so good, it's bringing up a lot of weeds. Luke 18:14, when they describe it, or 8:14 says, the cares and the riches and pleasures of life. It likens the weeds to the cares, the riches, and the pleasures of life. And these are weeds, then, that have not been pulled. Or there hasn't been proper weed product sprayed on or put on the weeds. Which, by the way, you still need to pull, I found out. The weeds take instead the valuable water and the sun and that the seed needs. We tried to plant, sorry, Casey, I'm going to embarrass us. We have a little garden in the backyard. We are the least gardening people. What? Yeah, the raspberries grew, but that's only because they stuck up past the overgrown mint. And what was the other thing we have in there? Like, is it just weeds? Yeah, weeds. We have a weed garden. It's a wildflower garden, right? But what happened is anything other than raspberries we tried to grow in there, we had this mint problem. It was like these mint terrorists had taken over it was horrible. And anything that tried to grow, the mint and the couple kinds of weeds we had, would grow taller than it. And anything we grow would get covered by that, and it wouldn't see any sun. And all the water that fell, only a couple of the drops ended up on the plants we wanted it to. As far as I'm concerned, raspberries are weeds, for the record, because those things would not stop growing. It's like, they acted the same way. The weeds take the valuable water and the sun that the seed needs, and so the seed is lacking the nutrients. The seed isn't impacted by God's word. Our heart isn't impacted by God's word the way it needs to. Yes, it's good soil. It'll allow something to grow, but it doesn't let it grow too far, and it definitely doesn't let it produce fruits, and it gets choked up. It grows, but it has no fruit. And so Jesus is describing this as us letting other things into our lives to fill our lives, to fill our schedules. And these things take away the ability for the seed to bear fruit in our hearts. I'll tell you, we did not plant the weeds. Casey and I didn't. We did not plant the weeds. We didn't even plant the mint. Apparently they had a couple mints in the corner and now the whole thing is full of mint. We didn't plant any of that. It just grew. But we learned something after 2 years of weeds, okay? All of you Green Thumb people, just don't laugh at me and close your ears. Apparently, this is real, okay? This just shows how smart we are. Apparently, if you don't want weeds, you need to pull the weeds. I thought that they would be fine. They're going to grow next to them. It's going to be fine. Like, no. And we're like, how come nobody else has weeds? Like, out in our front, we got these rock beds. And we're like, no one has, our neighbor doesn't have weeds. We have weeds. Why do we have weeds? No one has weeds but us. They pull their weeds. Although I do think they pull them between 10 a.m. and noon on Sundays, because I never see them pulling them. But when we do, it's like, oh, that's how they do it. I'm not joking. This conversation happened in our car. My wife and I were driving. We're like, oh, they're pulling weeds. And then we saw it again like 2 weeks later, like they're still pulling weeds. And so the solution for the thorny soil is that we have to pull weeds, but pulling weeds takes time. Pulling weeds is not a one-time thing where you're going to come tonight and you're going to pray and say, God, remove all the weeds in my life, because weeds keep growing. The things in our lives that want to suck up our time are always going to be there. The cares of this life and the riches and the pleasures of life that we pursue are always going to be there. And so we have to pull some weeds so that we can make room for God's word to grow in our heart. We may have to do a review of our individual or family schedules to find out what we're prioritizing. You might have to go out there and actually say, okay, I'm saying God's word is important in my life, but why is there all this mint? We might have to do a review and figure out what we're prioritizing. And if there is no room for God's word in my life, if there is no time in my day to read God's word, then I got to start pulling some weeds. Whatever does make it into my soil, whatever seed or part of God's word that actually does something into my heart will just get choked out, because I might hear something that somebody preaches. I might hear it on a podcast. I might hear it on a message that I'm hearing online. It'll be like, oh, that's really good, and I'm going to do something about that, and I'm going to make a note and put it in my journal and blah, blah, blah. And life happens, and it just gets choked out, and I never do anything about it. Colossians 3:2 says, set your mind on things above, not on things of the earth. Set your mind on things above. Pursuing and prioritizing the things of God and his word will be able to have an impact. And so the solution to the thorny soil is that to deal with thorny soil, we have to remove anything that is causing us to be choked or unfruitful. And we may need to review and reprioritize our individual and family schedules. So if you're keeping track, we have the path, we need to forgive and repent. We have the rocky soil, we got to start digging deeper, spending time in deeper and longer prayers, and spend time reading and studying God's word. And the thorny soil, we got to remove the things that are wanting to choke out God's word when it lands. But the good soil, the lazy soil, no, that's not true. It says, but he who receives seed on the good ground is he who hears the word and understands it, who indeed bears fruit and produces some hundredfold, some 60, some 30. Luke 8:15 says it this way, but the one that fell on the good ground are those who, having heard the word with a noble and good heart, keep it and bear fruit with patience. The good soil hears and understands, and the word bears fruit. But how does that work? Do you know how the good soil is described different than the rest of them? The good soil is not a path. It does not have rocks, and it does not have weeds. Do you think it just came about that way? Do you think some farmer in the Bible times just rolled up and said, well, here's a 6-acre plot, perfectly square, no rocks, no weeds, no paths. There's my field. The solution to the good soil, sadly, is that good soil isn't accidental. Bearing fruit doesn't happen by accident. Money comes from work. Bearing fruit comes from work. It comes from an initial work of getting that field ready, and it comes from regular maintenance every day. You look back at my neighbors and you say, whoa, theirs is always clean. How come theirs is clean? Because they're weeding it every day. Because they're removing the rocks every day. Because when something gets trampled down because the kids are running over that path, they till it up when they need to. The good soil is not the lazy soil. It's not the providential, the unfair soil of someone who got lucky. The good soil is the soil of someone that's doing the work in the other three soils. Then I can put it all together, Brother Caskey. I am supposed to absorb God's word. It is quick and powerful, and it will penetrate my heart. And it will do what it's designed to do. But the only thing that keeps it from doing that is how I tend my soil. And so God's word is all powerful, but we can inhibit it in our lives. But as I always say, to me, that's encouraging. That means I know the solution, Josh. I know the solution. It's like, you know, God's word isn't having the impact in my life that I'd like it to have. Hold on, I got to start looking around. Is there some hurts, some hardening that's happened? God's word isn't having the impact I'd really like it to have. Am I really getting deep and spending time in it and spending time in prayer? God's word isn't having the impact that it says it should have. I'm not seeing this fruit. Well, maybe there's some thorns in our lives. And then to me, it's like, well, now I have a checklist. Now I have something to pray for. Now I have something to work on. This is encouraging. I have a solution to the bad soil. I don't get to blame the soil anymore. I have a solution. Let's stand tonight. And so, we want to take some time to reflect on what God is speaking to you right now. Maybe you're going to sit quietly. Maybe you'd like to come up to the front and just kind of be by yourself and have your eyes closed and kneel or stand or raise your hands or sit. I don't know, but take this moment to talk to God. Maybe your prayers will include about what ground do I have to break up? God, is there any hardening of my heart because some hurts that have happened in my life that I need to forgive? Maybe there's some rocks you need to remove and some ways you got to start digging deeper in your prayer and in your Bible reading. Maybe God's calling you to start fasting a little bit. Maybe God's going to start showing you some weeds, some cares, some pleasures of this life that are maybe good, maybe bad, but they're just choking it out so you don't have time to pray and read God's word. What I do know about this story is that if God is casting the seed, He's not casting it because He doesn't want it to grow. He's casting it because He wants it to impact your heart. And He wants it to do something great. And He wants it to produce fruit. And that piece of fruit's going to grow up and it's going to have seeds and that's going to produce fruit somewhere else. Even if some random person steals the apple and walks with it and throws it away, that seed can produce fruit. It's multiplication. So God is doing this because He loves us and He wants His word to have an impact on us. And so as they start to sing, take some time and talk to God tonight. What's He telling you? What's He telling you about your soil? What's He telling you about maybe what you can start working on? What type of soil? Let's take some time to pray tonight.